The aim of Black Mental Matters is to tell experiences with honesty. Therefore, some discussions may trigger an adverse reaction. If a discussion is beginning to upset you, we advise that you please stop listening and talk to your support team.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, he's back, he's black, and it's Black Mental Matters. How you doing, everyone? It's your boy Vince the Voice. Once again, the podcast Black Mental Matters, designed to help eradicate that stigma as it relates to mental health in our black community. And you've been hearing it everywhere, because now mental health slowly moving out of the shadows. Everybody's talking about it after centuries of being sidelined. Finally, our state of mental well-being is receiving more of the attention that it deserves, but unfortunately is widely misunderstood. That stigma, it surrounds mental health issues. It's that stigma that prevents people from getting the help they need. And I think, and I know it's the answer, the only way to stop the stigma is to learn about it as much as you can. Learn about mental health. And so on today's episode, so excited to dispel those myths, misconceptions, disinformation, and I like to say misinformation because folks just be talking crazy. But anyway, we're going to talk about it. You're going to learn a lot. Lock it in. It's Black Mental Matters, and it starts right now. It's Black Mental Matters, Vince the Voice, and the girl. Do you know you?
It just makes me feel just so much better about myself, and it really helps my self-esteem. So thank you.
Well, you know what? You too can have this introduction everywhere you go. All you have to do is write me, and I will do custom introductions for everyone out there in the world. Not a problem at all. Show our past show with Dr. Alana and trauma, you know, hurts, empathy heals. And yes. Girl, I'm telling you, if I had a hat on with Kiba, I'd take it off to you for all the great stuff that you're doing out here in this world. So my hat is off.
Oh, thank you so much, Vince. And thank you for continuing to be a voice for mental health and, you know, by using your platform to bring awareness and advocacy, you know, for this, even when you're going through your own, you know, physical stuff, because, you know, you have an injury and you are still pushing through. So my hat's off to you.
Well, thank you so much. Yep. So if you hear me go, ooh, in the middle of this, it's not that I was excited, or maybe, but listen, I am excited because we have got today, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you're going to love our guest, Johnson, and the crowd goes crazy.
Thank you so much, Vince, for that introduction. That was awesome.
Well, you know,
thank you so much for having me.
Awesome people deserve an awesome an introduction, and we're so excited to have you here. And we're going to just jump right into it because we've had lots of conversations around mental health, of course, because this is Black Mental Matters. But when talking to you, we kind of zoomed in on the fact that right now there's a lot of myths and misconceptions, and you know what I wanted to say, misinformation, but you said no, maybe disinformation, but myths and misconceptions about mental health, which is now an obstacle for us getting help that we need. And so let's talk about that a little bit. First of all, the fact that there actually is or are mental health misconceptions that is preventing us from getting our needs in the black community.
You know what? That you're absolutely right about that. So many times when I talk to the biggest ones is that, especially around black women, you know, especially single moms, we're like, being a therapist, being a counselor is proof that I'm weak. You know, that I wasn't able to do it on my own. I couldn't do it on my own. And, you know, ladies, speaking to you directly, that is one of the, it's quite the opposite. Having the courage to actually come out here and say of what you can and can't do. It's just really you saying, okay, I need a little bit of support.
And you know, I neglected in your introduction because you are in practice. So when you're speaking from true experience of working with people in this arena. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And Shellyann, I'm so glad that you're mentioning and starting off with the disinformation surrounding black moms, because I know so. And being afraid to divulge that to anyone, because a lot of black people, including
kids. You know what? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And no, That, you know what, that's another one. That is really something nation. No one can get your information. So no one will know unless you decide to say, okay, I'm letting you know that I'm seeing a therapist.
Mm. And then, as you said, you know, with black women, because what is it that everybody says on every program or in every conversation? Strong black woman. A strong yes. black woman. I mean, you guys yes. Need to have muscles like Hercules, the way they, you know, the way they're not the case.
That's true. I mean, some of us do. I know some moms out there who got those muscles like Hercules, you know. Mm. Another one is when they say that you're crazy. Wake up, little things like that. Don't wait until it becomes a full-blown episode before you decide, okay, I need to go to a counselor. You're not crazy because you decide.
Think, okay, well, that's only for a person that's experiencing hallucinations. When there's right. so much more to mental health than just that.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. And so, you know, I definitely get that a lot in my practice where they're like, you know, I was so scared I wanted to come in, but I feel like I was sick enough. I feel wow. like me coming in and just talking to someone, I was just complaining.
Wow.
Or, you know, they just don't think it's a big enough issue to burden me with. I'm like, this is my job. That's why I'm here, to support yes. you, you know?
One of the myths that I've also heard over the years, Shelly Ann and Makiba, is that only people without friends need therapists. That is so mm-hmm. false. So false.
Mm-hmm. You said only people who have friends
who
need
don't
therapists
have
or
friends.
Don't have friends.
Don't have friends
okay.
need therapists. Because you're
that's
supposed to be
true.
Able to just talk to your friend and it's going to be okay.
And you know, that has, right, sometimes it does, Makiba. But you know what? I mean, there's space for that. So there's space for you to talk with your friends and that can be therapeutic. But your friend does not have the training yes. necessary to, number one, tell you, do you actually have a mental health diagnosis? Mm-hmm. Just because you read some symptoms online doesn't mean that you actually meet criteria for this diagnosis. Mm-hmm. That's number one. And then your friend doesn't have the tools to say, okay, these are the strategies that you could use to reduce your anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's causing this from your childhood is showing up now as an adult and is affecting you in this way. This is why your love relationships are this way. They can listen, yes. and that's awesome because everyone needs an ear. But when it comes to practical application and actually getting you to process through trauma, process through whatever the issue is that you're going through, you need professional help. Someone who's actually trained to deal with those kind of issues and circumstances in your life.
Yes, absolutely. And it's also helpful that the therapist is objective. So it's a completely different conversation when you're telling your best friend or your mom about your marital problems or some stuff that you are going through. And then you've got somebody that, you know, knows your history and knows you personally and already has these preconceived notions about what they think you should or should not be doing. You're absolutely right. That's the thing that I love the most about therapy is that you're dealing with a person that has no personal connection to you, that they are hearing everything through the lens of how can I help you navigate
yes.
through this situation.
Yes.
That's why it works.
Yes. You know, because I'm mad at your boyfriend too. You know, right? But if I don't know you, I don't know your boyfriend, I can look at it from both and say, but wait a minute, what is your role in this? You know, I can kind of be an outside party kind of looking in versus being in the middle of it in a sense.
Absolutely.
One of the biggest myths, again, I mean, there's so many out there, and I'm so glad that you're helping us along this. One of them is that mental health problems are uncommon, that, you know, hey, if you got a mental health issue, you like one in a gazillion. That is not the fact.
Oh, my gosh. That's definitely a big one. People think that a lot. And I think it's something like
one in four
people struggle with a mental health issue in America. I mean, think about it. How many of us? Three on the line. One other person. It'll be one of us.
Yes.
Struggling with something.
Well, it's actually,
you know,
all three of us right now.
I wasn't gonna say. It's true. Whenever you're in a room, Whenever you're in a room, there's always someone, whether it's with anxiety, whether we're all dealing with our own traumas. We're all dealing with our own issues. And it's very common. Very common.
Absolutely. And I think that that's what leads people into the notion that I see a lot online. And you are just a jerk. That has nothing to do with your mental health. Because there are so many people struggling with issues and conditions that are good people. And that's such a thing that I want people out there to know, that there are good people who have schizophrenia. There are good people that are struggling with depression. I mean, there are good people who have mental health disorders, and people who are struggling with mental health are not.
They look strange, and now you feel threatened and attack them. And it's like, no, this person just needs a little support. They might be going through their first break and not even understand what's going on with them. Don't have family support, don't have the things that they need, don't have access to the resources to actually deal with this. But this misconception is very, very dangerous, guys. Just for those of us listening, you know, if you know someone, be an advocate, because that person probably might not have the resources or the support.
Yes.
But
they're suffering from can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we definitely thoroughly functioning. So you can't go through your day without breaking down. It's affecting your work, you know, and it's prolonged. It's going on for a while. So the best thing I would say is try to talk with someone to get an actual professional to give you a diagnosis. There's a lot more that goes into depression than there are different criteria that have to be met in order for you to be actually considered clinically depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then people tend to exactly what they're going through and seeing, you know, maybe you do need to talk. First thing is to actually go in and seek that help.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you're mentioning this, because that makes me think about parents who have children that are suffering from depression, because especially coming from like the boomer generation, a lot of times parents don't understand that a depressed child is not an ungrateful child, and it oftentimes leads to conversations of, well, you're depressed because it means you're not grateful for what you have, and there are people out there starving, don't have any food, and you need to be more grateful for the things that your parents have been providing for you. And they're not understanding that's a clinical diagnosis that is totally independent from your lifestyle or your access to wealth or education, and which also brings us into the conversation that people believe that spirituality and church and mental health are mutually exclusive, that there's something wrong with you if you're depressed or you're anxious, and that those feelings should be able to be prayed away, and that if they're not, then you're not spiritual.
So that's twofold, right? What you said.
Yes.
So teachers and with their parents who come in and they're like, I don't know, he has everything he needs. Like, there's something they're doing wrong. You know, then out, and you're not understanding why is this kid actual to open up to you in that way, mom or dad. So getting him to, does your pastor know what to look for? Does your pastor know when you might need to be on some medication? The desire to serve,
you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Leanne, is that mental health, if you are depressed or if you have an addiction or something, that there's no way you can get away from this. It's a life sentence. And that's not true.
Okay. That's not like most things, right? Mental health, it exists on a spectrum, right? So it's going to show up for you, Makiva, differently than it shows up for me, right?
Yes.
For some people, it's time. For some people, it's, you know, postpartum depression. You had a baby. You had this episode. You got treatment, and that was it. And it never came back, never bothered you again. For some people, it's episodic, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Or even around the holidays, stuff like that. And for some people, it's persistent. For some people, they need constant care. You know, they need to always talk with a therapist. They need to be on medication. So it's on the scale, plenty of people who have partially or completely gotten a relief of their symptoms once they started it. That's going to be your life forever.
Absolutely right. And it doesn't label you. And that makes me think about the impressions of self-harm and also suicide, that people believe that people that self-harm, quote unquote, are trying to hurt themselves, that people that are experiencing suicidal ideation are trying to, quote unquote, pain that they're going through. And the same with self-harm. People who self-harm aren't trying to hurt themselves. That's a completely different conversation.
Right. Symptom relief. We understand, you know, what I tell a lot of my clients that come, they want to put the fire out
Yes.
by any means necessary. They just want the pain to stop. Yes. So when you have these parts of you that are forward, that are in control, that are like, you know what? I don't care how I end this pain. I just want it to stop. Mm-hmm. But the person, the individual doesn't really, a lot of times, doesn't really want to die. They don't really want to hurt themselves. Right. They just want the pain to stop.
Yes.
You know, associated with that could be also the myth that addiction is a lack of willpower. Mm-hmm. Not thinking about some situation that makes you sad or something like that.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that, Vince, and about how, you know, everyone's got that drunk aunt or that drunk uncle, right, that shows up. You know, they're going to start drinking at noon, and before you know it, there's going to be a fight, or they're going to be stumbling, and, you know, addiction, when people say it's a matter of willpower, there's so many addicts that I talk to who want to stop, who've tried many, many, many times to stop, and they can't. They try to do it on their own. And let me tell you, this is very dangerous, and a lot of people don't know this. Depending on the substance that you're using, trying to detox on your own could be potentially life-threatening. When you're talking about seizures, I mean, so many things can happen. So it's not as simple as saying no, just say no. You know, it's not, if it was that simple, then we wouldn't have so many people who continually go back trying over and over again to stop. Some people, they're off of that drug for years, and then one thing will trigger them and they're back. So there's more to it than just this person can stop. Yeah.
Right.
And it's really dangerous, because then people are like, you know what? They're right. There's something wrong with me. I should be able to stop. And then they stop.
Are labeled as criminals. Like, people look at a person who is, you know, is struggling with an addiction as, well, you know, the person is doing the illegal substance, so the person is a criminal. I still do not understand why people that are out on parole for a crime that has nothing to do with drugs can be sent back to jail for a positive drug test.
Mm.
Because if mental brought that up.
Yeah, you know what? That's true. And you bring up and I talk to police officers all the time. They go on these calls, mental health disturbance. This person is walking down the street, yelling, screaming, playing in traffic with mental health disorders, get jammed up. You know,
right.
So many of them, they were possibly in the middle of a psychotic episode. They were fearful for providing them with the help and support.
And Johnson, and so risetherapy.com, and I love this statement: on the journey to becoming a better you, you may not be able to navigate all the roadblocks on your own, and that's okay, because that's what therapy is for. You are not alone. Let Shelly help. I see, Shelly, you provide family sessions, individual sessions, adolescent and teen sessions, couples therapy, group sessions, and more. And just from this conversation, first of all, I can tell that you care greatly for our people out here. And secondly, the work that you've done, you've really dedicated your life to, you know, understanding mental health and really, you know, putting in the work to be able to help those out here. Because, whoo, do we need some help? And we haven't even mentioned a COVID pandemics and all that other kind of stuff, and
God.
The war and the TV and all this. Oh my Lord.
Inflation. All that.
Gas prices. You know, people are freaking out over gas prices. I'm like, good Lord. I mean, it's just everything these days. And so, again, people can reach out to you, correct? And you can assist, talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So I have a contact us page. You can send me an email. You can call me. You know, if I don't know the answer, then I will try to find the answer for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely here to help and to support in any way that I can. I just want us to be okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm here to see how my little part, what little part I can play in that. You know, we talked a little bit about that, Vince, and just our passion for helping our community and just people in general.
Yes.
So any way that I can help, you know, I'm here.
Well, you have been helpful today. Go ahead, Makeba.
Oh, yes, no, definitely. And Shelly-Ann, I know that we're running out of time, but can you let the listeners know your social media handle so they can follow you online?
Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what? I am word of mouth.
Oh, okay.
Best way.
And everyone is like,
you're in the real world.
You're not in the matrix. I'm telling you, I am not... I did not take the pill. But look, Makiva, they're trying to get me to take it. Every time I talk to somebody, they're like, what's your thought? I'm like, just go to my website.
Yes.
And, you know, yes. But I think that it's becoming apparent that people are just wanting more information. They're wanting me to kind of branch out a little more. So go to my website. I am going to, I am in the near future, going to have all that set up because I feel like I have to at this point because more people need to hear the message and what I'm saying. So I'm going to have to just extend myself a little further. But for now, you guys can see me on my website, www.mindrisetherapy.com. My phone number is there. My email is there, so you can contact me that way. And yes, I guess my social media will be coming soon, you guys.
Then don't start a MySpace page. That's over with, okay? Don't my...
I know, okay? You see this? Makiva, you're with me.
I am.
Don't. Well, this has been great, Shelly-Ann, and we just want to again thank you as always for all the great work that you're doing and helping our families out there. And I encourage everyone, you know, to reach out again. MindRiseTherapy.com. Shelly-Ann Johnson, friend of Black Mental Matters, and you know, she's going to help you get through whatever it is. And she's going to help you dispel all the crazy myths, misconceptions, and disinformation that you've been hearing and get you on the track to better outcomes in your life. So thank you again, Shelly-Ann. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. You guys
thank you, Shelly-Ann.
Thank you. You guys have a great day, okay?
You too. It's Black Mental Matters.